Welcome to the Sunday morning podcast from Kingdom Faith Church in Crawley.
Hello, good morning everyone. Good to see you. Who is finding it a bit chilly in this room? Yes, I think, I'm not sure what happened to the heater here, but yes, cold season is starting. But welcome to this morning. It's good to see you all. Now, some of you might have noticed some empty chairs up in the front row. So Pastor Victor is actually on his way back from Munich, and Emma has traveled back from Kenya. So why don't we just pray for them as a family? Yeah, so are you okay to stand up again, please? Sorry. Yeah, let's just pray for them, Pastor Victor, Emma, Kirk and Kyla. Yeah, let's just lift them up before our Father. So if you can just pray in tongues or in your own words, and then I will be praying. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Father God, thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, I thank you, Father, for the family of Victor and Emma, Kirk and Kyla, Lord Jesus. Father, I thank you because you have blessed them to be our pastors, our family, part of our family, Lord. Father, I thank you for what you have been doing through them, Father God, Lord. Father, I just want to say thank you for the blessing, Father God, of having them in our midst, Lord. Father, I pray this morning for Journey Mercies, particularly for Pastor Victor on his way home. Father, we pray that you bless Emma and the children as they are resting and just being united again as a family. Father, we thank you for your protection over them, Lord Jesus. Father, I thank you that you watch over them because you love them, Father. And we just pray for your continuous provision for them, whatever they need, Lord. I thank you that you provided for them. Thank you, Father, that you refresh them. So when we see them again, Lord, that, Father God, you will continue to use them mightily in our midst, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Yes, before you sit down, say hello to somebody around you, because I can see there's some new people at the back as well. Can we just make sure they're being greeted? If you don't mind, just moving around a little bit. It keeps you warm as well, so that's a good thing, I suppose. How are you? Good, yes. All right, good. So, really good to see everyone. So, if you go back and find your seat again, that would be great. All right, so who remembers what series are we working through at the moment? Oh, is it already giving? Okay. Names of God. Okay. Oh, thank you, Steve. All right. So who remembers? What did you talk about last week? Sorry, a bit of a memory test. What did you talk about last week? Anyone? Just shepherd. Yes. And what did Pastor Jonathan say? What shepherd? My shepherd. Excellent. So you remember that. So we're not talking about God being a shepherd, but God being my shepherd. A bit trickier. What about the week before that? Pastor Victor was bringing the word. What did we talk about? God of the breakthrough. Excellent. And who remembers the Hebrew word for that? Perazim, yes, Jehovah or Yahweh Perazim. Very good. Yes, so God being our breakthrough. And today we're going to continue with that series. But I'm not going to tell you yet what we're going to talk about. I just wanted us to remind ourselves why we're doing this series. Remember that in the word it says, those who know his name, those who know God by his name, they trust him. And this whole journey is really about knowing God from different levels, different aspects, different characteristics of God. And one of the things that Pastor Victor was saying in his introductory sermon was that God reveals himself to us by his name. And this often happens through an experience. For example, one of my favorite names of God is El Roi, which means God sees me. And I still remember there was a time in my life when I felt, well, like sometimes you feel, isn't it? Now there's nobody there, nobody really knows what you're going through, nobody really realizes how much you might struggle. And then God revealed himself as the one who sees me in the midst of all this. And that really stuck with me. So I do know that although sometimes I might have that feeling, this is not the truth. Because God is always with me and always sees what's going on in my life. Now, one of the things that I really found very interesting, I'm not British, so I haven't got a British passport, but some of you might remember that Pastor Victor was referring to the British passport, where it has a massive sentence saying that because of his Britannic Majesty's Secretary of State requests and requires in the name of His Majesty that you can then pass freely through one country to another. So the importance of the name, obviously here the name of our king, that confers power and authority, isn't it? But this is the same with our God, isn't it? So today we're going to talk about Jehovah Nissi or Yahweh Nissi. Does anyone know what that means? Banner, yes, banner of victory. So the Lord, my banner, the Lord, my victory. And I just looked at it, what Nissi actually means. So it derives from a word that means pole, standard, or banner. And there is actually only one place in the Bible where it comes as Jehovah Nissi. But Nissi on its own, or the word that Nissi is referred from or derived from, comes up several times in the Bible. And what it says really, so when we think about Jehovah Nissi, we talk about God's presence, God's protection is over us. He is our source of strength, of encouragement, but also identity. And because of his presence and his power, we have victory. Now, another meaning of the banner means as well that it's a rallying point. So people who used to go into wars, they would normally have a banner of their division. They would have a banner of their nation, obviously. And so that's why you can see the identity comes from, isn't it? So they knew who they were marching under. They would know who they were part with, of. But it was also a rallying point. That means in the midst of chaos, sometimes the troops would retreat to that banner. And sometimes that would be a time of regrouping, reorientation, and then they go back into the battlefield. And I think one thing that God really spoke to me about, we're not going to really dwell on that today, but is that as a church, God calls us to work together, to march together, united, under Jesus being our banner. And some of you might have listened to the message from Pastor Victor that he posted on the group, yeah, because this was all about how we can actually work in unity as a kingdom people, God people. And the Bible is very strong on that, isn't it? That if we are divided as a body of Christ, we'll not be able to do anything. We'll not be able to march forward. So the rallying, Jesus being our rallying point, is really important, that we gather, that we unite, that we are there together. Now, today, nowadays, obviously we are not so much in warfare, in military, at least I don't know any one of you, but maybe some of you are connected to the army, so you will have a better understanding to what it means that God is our banner, that he is our protection. He is the one we go under, isn't it? And he will be the one who brings the victory. Now, let's start with our first scripture. I want to take the first scripture from Exodus chapter 17, verses 8 to 16. So that is the place in the Bible where Jehovah Nissi does come up. Now, some of you are very good and know the stories of the Israelites very well. Some might not know it as well. So remember that they were slaves in Egypt for about 400 years. And then God sent Moses. Some of you might be familiar with Moses. He was already in his 80s at that time. He sent Moses to deliver the Israelites, to bring them out of Egypt into the promised land. So God spoke about the promised land. However, they did not know what that land might be or where that would be. Shall I try again? Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah? Oh, you want me to carry on? Okay, sorry. So there were a people that were in slavery for years. They didn't know anything else. And then they came out of that promised land. It was a miracle, many miracles. God's really powerful hand was at work. And then they had a few obstacles, as you know, maybe some of you remember. So they had to cross over the Red Sea. And again, that was a miracle how God separated the water so that they can cross over on dry land. They were on the other side of the Red Sea. Their enemies were all drowned in the Red Sea. And then there were some challenges with food in the desert. Yeah, they were hungry. They were complaining to God, you know, we don't want to be dead. We should have stayed in Egypt because at least we have plenty of food. So God provided for them with manna in the morning and quails in the evening. And then there were two episodes when they had problems with water. Once the water was bitter, so they couldn't drink it. So again, God just broke through for them, isn't it? So gave them fresh water. And the other time there was no water at all. But again, God provided water for them. So this is the people of Israel, yeah? So they had a few challenges. But now, this is yet the biggest challenge they had to face at the time. And I wonder whether today, this morning, there are some of us who have had challenges, because we all have challenges. However, maybe you feel that this is the biggest challenge I've ever had to face. I've not had any training for it. I've not had any preparation for it. But I'm really faced with this massive challenge. That's probably how the Israelites felt in this story. I'm going to read from verse 8. So while the people of Israel were still at Rephidim, so that's a place, the warriors of Amalek attacked them, so that's another nation. Moses commanded Joshua, choose some men to go out and find the army of Amalek for us. Tomorrow I will stand at the top of the hill, holding the staff of God in my hand. So Joshua did what Moses had commanded and fought the army of Amalek. Meanwhile, Moses, Aaron, and Hur climbed to the top of a nearby hill. As long as Moses held up the staff in his hand, the Israelites had the advantage. But whenever he dropped his hand, the Amalekites gained the advantage. Moses' arms soon became so tired, he could no longer hold them up. So Aaron and Hur found a stone for him to sit on. Then they stood on each side of Moses, holding up his hands. So his hands held steady until sunset. As a result, Joshua overwhelmed the army of Amalek in battle. After the victory, the Lord instructed Moses, write this down on a scroll as a permanent reminder and read it aloud to Joshua. I will erase the memory of Amalek from under heaven. Moses built an altar there and named it Yahweh Nissi, which means the Lord is my banner. He said, they have raised their fist against the Lord's throne, so now the Lord will be at war with Amalek generation after generation. Amen. Wow. So I don't know what you think, but I think that's an amazing story of God's power being at work and God being faithful. Remember, these people were not trained in battle. It's not that they've had lots of fights before and they knew exactly how to fight, but God brought them the victory. When Moses decided to do the altar, remember in the Old Testament, altars were places of worship, of surrender, but also places to remind themselves of what God did at the time. And for him, it was very clear, without God, they would have lost this battle. And that's why they said, Moses said, Jehovah Nissi, Yahweh Nissi, God is my banner. We marched under the name of God, and that's why we won the battle. Now, he was the one who alone could have brought the victory. Now, as you saw in the story, Moses held the staff. Now, the staff has always been a sign of God's power and authority, because in all the different places they were in, God often asked Moses, use the staff to do certain things. But in this place, it wasn't enough, wasn't it? God instructed Moses, you have to hold up the staff. But naturally speaking, we all get tired, don't we? Sometimes we get tired, we get exhausted. And sometimes even when we are facing challenges, we might get disheartened or discouraged. And we might wonder, how long do we have to carry on? How long do we need to persevere? How long, Father, until you do bring the victory or the breakthrough? And Moses wasn't on his own. He had Aaron and Hur who were helping him. And I think that is really something for us to really remember, that as a body, as a church family, we're not to be Moses single-handedly. You know, there are challenges where we do need to gather together and help each other and pray for each other so that we can actually get to the victory. Some of the challenges I know we can do with God's help, but some we need one another. And it's really an encouragement. If you are in a place where you do feel, I really can't carry on my own, please do speak to each other, ask each other, pray with each other. That's what we're here for, so that we can go to the victory that that God has for us. Now, in the Bible, there's lots of stories of how God helped the Israelites to gain the victory. And this is another one that I really like, is in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And at that time, the Israelites were more battle ready. So they knew how to fight battles and they knew how to win, because God has been very faithful to them. But again, there was a time when they were faced with three different armies who wanted to attack them. And they were again crying out to God, Lord, help us, help us. And God, as you know, is very faithful. I just want to read you this scripture because I think it challenges our mind about how we need to fight our battles. There are different ways. God is the one who knows every strategy, how to face challenges. He knows what we need to do and how we need to go about situations. And that's what he says in this scripture, really. So this was a Levite who was filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke to the Israelites and to King Jehoshaphat. Listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Listen, King Jehoshaphat. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march out against them. You will find them coming up through the ascent of Ziz at the end of the valley that opens into the wilderness of Jeruel. But you will not even need to fight. Take your positions. Then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. He is with you, O people of Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you. Wow, what a powerful word, isn't it? That there were three different armies were trying to attack Israel, but God says, the battle is not yours, the battle is mine. So he is going to fight for them. And you know what King Jehoshaphat did? He believed them. He believed the word of God. And what did he do? He put singers and worshippers in front of the army. Can you imagine? So he believed God, that God will truly bring them to that victory, lead them into victory. And that's why I will trust God's word, that we will not have to find. But remember what he said, what God says, take your positions. Take your positions. So sometimes when we face challenges, I know sometimes we feel definitely disabled. We cannot do. We are paralyzed. But God is encouraging us to take positions. Take positions might be a step towards having faith into him. Might be choosing to worship him, to praise him, although we cannot see any reasons for it. You know, it might be that we ask somebody else to pray with us to help us go through to a situation. And you know, God is so faithful. He will never let us down. And his word will never fail. So when God speaks a word, we can trust it that he will have it to pass. Now, I want us to think about differently now about the victory. Because these ones are amazing victory that God has obtained for his people of Israel. But we know that there is also victory that Jesus has gotten for all of us, for all people on the world, in the world. And I wanted us to start with the very back of the Bible. Now, I heard once that there is a person who likes knowing how the story ends. So I don't know whether you are like that. I'm not particularly like that. But so what this person does, goes to the very back of the book, any book, and just reads the back to find out how the story ends. And I think sometimes we forget how the story ends. And I want us to read now a scripture from Revelation, from chapter 19. Because I think in the midst of all the challenges, all the things that are going on in the world as well, sometimes we forget how the story ends. And it is very clear in the book of Revelation, which is the last book of the Bible, who has the final victory. And I'm just going to read it. And this is, some of you might not know, the book of Revelation is like a vision that God has given to John. John was one of Jesus' very close disciples. And so John was on that island in custody. And God just gave him a vision of what will happen in the future. So it hasn't happened yet, even in our time yet, what I'm going to read. But this is to tell John and to tell us how the story ends, so that we will bear that in mind wherever we are at, whatever we are facing. This is how the story ends. So John is writing and says, I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse. Now remember, white horse means victory, yeah? White horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. He's talking about Jesus here. With justice, he judges and wages war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. On his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So this is Jesus who's got the final victory. So whatever is happening now in this world, in our own lives, Jesus has the victory. This is the end of our story. Jesus has the victory. And that will never change because that's been written in the Word of God. And he, remember, whatever he says will happen. So I want us to be encouraged wherever we are at. This is how it ends. So we can have hope. We can have hope for our future. We can have hope for our families. We can have hope for our nation. We can have hope for our world, because this is how it ends. And remember, this is what it says. At that time, In those days, Jesus will wipe every tear. There will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. Everything will God be gone. So this is where our hope is, isn't it? Hallelujah. That is where that's how it will be. That's the final victory. However, one thing I would like us to think about. This is not how Jesus obtained the victory, isn't it? This is the final victory when he comes on a white horse, when everybody will see him, everybody will recognize him, everybody will bow down to him. But when he actually obtained the victory, the circumstances were very different. And I want to encourage us this morning that the victory doesn't always look like we think victory should look like. Now, remember when Jesus died at the cross, everybody thought this is the end. Remember the most disciples ran away, yeah? The Jewish leaders, because they wanted Jesus dead, they thought, wow, that's great. We've got it. We've got him, you know? The dark principalities, forces of the dark world, they thought that was it. The Son of God is dead. But the thing is, that wasn't the end, isn't it? No, that wasn't the end. So thank God for that. And one of the things, just to kind of link it back to the banner, is that in the Old Testament, there is writing of the banner of salvation. The banner of salvation. So remember, banner being lifted up over us? And Jesus being the banner of salvation. Because Jesus, as was said before, as Andrew, you said that before, isn't it? Because Jesus is the only way that can bring salvation to us. Now, there is one story in the Old Testament that talks about banner. And you, some of you might know it. But again, that was a time with Moses and in the desert. So they were still walking around the desert. And there were lots of poisonous snakes in their camp. Because they were disobeying God. And Moses and the people were crying out to God, God, help us, have mercy on us. Remember, when we disobey, when we do something wrong, God is always willing to forgive us. And he doesn't want us to go hiding or to run away, but he wants us to come to him because he will forgive us. Mercy. Mercy means that he deals with us not as we deserve. So when we disobey, we would deserve punishment, isn't it? But this is not what God wants to give us. God wants to give us grace. He wants to bless us. He wants to love us. He wants to forgive us. So in that story, God tells Moses, okay, what I would like you to do, on a pole, again, a nisi, a banner, I want you to put a replica of a poisonous on the snake, of a poisonous snake in a metal or whatever. And then whoever looks up to that snake is being healed. And that's what he did. And that's how they were all healed as a population, as Israelites. Now in John 3, Jesus talks about this story, but refers to himself as being the banner, the standard, the pole who brings salvation. And it says, and as Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that means Jesus, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. And then in John 12, he also says that Jesus talking about himself, and when I'm lifted up from the earth, we know Jesus died at a cross, so he was lifted up on the earth. I will draw everyone to myself. So I will draw people, all mankind, everyone, all nations to myself. And this has been a promise, and this is a promise for us today as well. Now, when Jesus obtained the victory, it was at a cross. It says very clearly that that's the way Jesus disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities, and he shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. So Jesus has won the victory on the cross. And everybody knows Satan knows that he has been defeated at the cross. That's been done once and for all. But we know that in this time where we are at now, Jesus has still the victory, but Satan is allowed to mess up with people. Yeah? So this is what we are doing, where we are at. One of the youth asked me once, if Jesus has won the victory at the cross, why are so many bad things happening in this world? And that might be a question, you know, that we all have at times particularly. But I remember one of the things, I've stolen the idea from the Alpha course, which is very helpful, by the way, so really good. What they've explained, how they explained it, I probably say it wrong. one is the Victory in Europe Day, and one is the other day, isn't it? Yes, what is it called, the other day? I can't remember, I know. Anyway, so one of the days when it was very clear that the Allies won the Second World War, yeah? And it was clear that they have won the victory. However, in lots of places, the war still carried on until then the other day, which I can't remember. Pardon me?
Japan.
In Japan, yes. So we are in that zone now. Jesus has won the victory. Very clearly, Jesus has won the victory. But where we are now, we are in that interim place where there are still battles going on until then the final victory when Jesus comes on the white horse. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So that's why we need to know that God is our banner. And we need to walk under his name. We need to go about life under his name of protection, under his name of victory, under his name of strength, under his name of wisdom, anything that he's got it all that we need. One thing I also made a note here, I wanted to mention for us. When Jesus died at a cross, he also won the victory over death and grave. And I know some of us really need to know that. I'm going to read a scripture from Revelation chapter 1 where it says, "Do not be afraid." So Jesus is talking here. "I am the first and the last. I am the living one," because we know he resurrected and is living. "I died, but look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and the grave." And the Amplified Version says, "I have absolute control and victory over death and the grave." So for us, again, we know that physical death is not the end, but that it carries, our lives carries on, our hope carries on. And this is really important for us to know that as believers, that we do not need to be afraid of death because Jesus has won the victory over death. And I know thinking about our own mortality and death is probably a completely different subject. It's not easy. But I want us to remember that Jesus has the victory because he died at the cross. Now, a few thoughts about what does it look like then for us to be victorious in the midst of the world, how things are now. Now, one of the things that God really showed me is some of you might be familiar with the letters that Jesus wrote to the seven churches at the beginning of the book of Revelation. So these are seven churches, and when Jesus writes the letter John writes them down inspired by Jesus, really. He talks about good things in the church that are going on. He talks about things that need to change and challenges them. But at the end of every of these letters, he says, "But to those who are victorious, I will give this or that." And I've never noticed that before. So Jesus wants us to be victorious. He doesn't want us to walk defeated or discouraged in our lives. He wants us to be victorious. And I thought about a few things that the Bible talks about. What does it look like to walk victorious? Now, my youngest told me she plays basketball. For them, it's very clear. The points tell you who has won and who has lost. But again, if you think about as a team, there's lots of other things that will also show the team that they did well, isn't it? Good team playing, good defending, you know, good chances to have a go at shooting, and all these things, they are really important. And it's the same for us. We imagine our victory might be pain-free, stress-free, easy life, isn't it? But that's not how the victory looks like in God. First thing, living surrendered to God. That is really important. When we give our lives to Jesus, I always explain that to the youth and to the children, is we are no longer the ones in the driver's seat. We are now having a driver, Jesus, who drives us where he wants us to go, isn't it? That means we need to surrender ourselves. I know strong-willed people, we need to surrender our wills to Jesus. You know, we need to surrender our dreams to people, to Jesus, our hopes, our families, everything. And remember, when we give our lives to Jesus, we don't just give it to any person. We give it to the Kings of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he is trustworthy and he is reliable. He's not going to mess about with us when we trust him. The second thing is living in obedience. Really, really important. Really important. Because God speaks to us. If we do not obey, we will not be able to get any victory. We will not be able to do that. Again, there's lots of stories in the Bible when people disobeyed God, and until they went to God and asked for forgiveness, they didn't get the victory. Very clear. So, living in obedience. But it also means that we ask God, what do you want me to do? We don't just go ahead and just do what we think, but that we ask God specifically for directions, for strategies. Thirdly, we need to have faith, isn't it? We need to have faith in God. We need to have faith in his word. If we don't have faith, we will not be able to walk in victory. If God gives us a promise, we need to hold on to that promise. And no matter what, hold on to it. Not let it go. So when God has spoken to you about things, and you know it's God, remember again, we need to know it is God. It's not what we think God is saying, but it is actually God saying. Then we can hold on to the word. And we should run with it. Amen? So one of the scriptures I've not mentioned, but I'm just going to say it in passing because I know we are probably all freezing cold and it's nearly time as well. But one of the things that, again, has the word banner there is in the book of Songs of Solomon's or Song of Songs. And it says that his banner, the banner of Jesus over us, yes, is love. Is love. Is love. So this is God's motivation. That's God's heart for us. He loves us so much, and that's why he wants us to be victorious in our lives.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources from Kingdom Faith and our other audio and video podcasts, please visit www.kingdomfaith.com.